All right, and welcome everybody to tonight's episode of the Lapdown Podcast here on YouTube, along with all the other streaming platforms. Thank you to the Alkali Project for the intro music, and make sure to check out their new album, The Blood World, over on Apple Music or wherever else you get your music from. I am Ryan, and tonight we are joined by JP, Tyler, and Mike, who is new to the podcast. Mike, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, thanks for having me here. My name's Mike Miller, and I've been good friends with Ben. He reached out to me. I'm doing iRacing on Wednesday night, so that finally ended. So I joined you guys. I got into sport when I was a kid. My dad was an Earnhardt fan, so of course I had to be a Gordon fan to go against him.
Yep.
And stayed with the 24 through Chase, and then I stayed with Byron, and I think that's paying off pretty good to be a Byron fan right now.
Yeah, this is a good time to be a Byron fan. That is for sure.
At first, yeah. I was skeptical. He kept making fun of me. Should have stayed with Chase.
Yep. Trust me, I had plenty of people who said the same thing to me when I got into the sport with Edwards. And I told him we won a championship eventually, and then 2011 happened.
We don't want to talk about 2011, do we?
No, we don't. Not unless what we're talking about is giving the championship trophy to Carl.
I don't want to talk about 2004 with Dale Jr.
Yeah. But, that is everybody we got on here tonight. A little bit of a smaller group than we're used to having, but we'll get right into trucks with Texas and talk about what was a fairly dominant race from driver of the number 7 truck, Kyle Busch, making, I believe, his fourth truck start of the year.
Some fourth win.
No, it's not his fourth win. He's only won, what, two of them, I think?
No, he won Atlanta, I think,
earlier this year.
Won Atlanta.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he started, he came up second at Bristol, 15th at Vegas, and then won Atlanta and Texas. So, did any of you guys manage to catch that truck race on, what was it, Friday night? Or was that?
No, I didn't.
Or was it Saturday?
It was alright.
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Friday night. I caught some highlights. It just seemed like Kyle Busch was dominant the whole way. But I was out partying and dancing my butt off Friday night, so that's what I was doing.
Alright, anyone else catch anything from the truck race worth noting?
Not really, just, you know, once Kyle got up front, it was over. Some wrecks, some decent wrecks out there too.
Corey Heim was actually closing in pretty good on him near the end of the race and just kind of ran out of laps.
Yeah, that he was.
I did
catch that paint scheme, though. That paint scheme is sweet for the
actually,
7.
I want to do note something. All 3 series had to deal with it. The tire wear was extreme. Getting in the outside, no matter what series you were in, you hit those bumps, your car was going around.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely slick, and we'll definitely get to that with one of the other topics further down the list, but,
another hard night for Lane Riggs.
Hmm?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I like Lane a lot.
Yep. But, when it came to Corey Heim, my biggest question is, he was running him down, but I don't know if Kyle Busch might have just been backing off the pace to try and avoid making a mistake because he had time to kill. Because catching him and passing him are two very different things in NASCAR.
That's very true.
So, that was kind of my assessment of it, and I watched that whole thing live as it was happening, and it's like, yeah, he probably could get there. The question is, is Kyle hanging on to, say, that extra gear of speed, as we would call it, to turn on that 110% effort when it gets serious?
I didn't realize he tied Todd Bryan's all-time win record at Texas.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's all-time wins listed a lot of tracks in the Truck Series, as he's also the winningest driver in the Truck Series history as a whole. Continues to make that mark harder and harder to reach.
And I don't think anyone's going to be able to top him.
Well, especially once he goes down to the trucks for a full-time season after he retires from Cup full-time.
The drive with Braxton, yeah.
Well,
nobody's going to have a chance. Nobody's going to have a chance.
Say, because his plan is after he retires from full-time Cup, he's going to do one full-time season in the trucks to try and secure up that third championship and become the first driver to have a championship in all three.
He does, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't have a truck title yet. That's why he's going to go down to trucks at the end of his career after Cup.
He's going to decimate them. He has the Cup and Dad Nationwide, but
he has Cup and Xfinity trophies, but he doesn't. I believe he has owner trophies. Oh yeah, he's got owner trophies out at the wazoo there.
Owner championships, but not the driver.
Yeah. Then moving on to Saturday afternoon's NASCAR Xfinity Series race from Texas, which had a finish that I think
that was wild.
Everybody has either heard or seen about at this point.
I felt bad for Sieg.
Start off with that talking about the finish. Can I go backwards a little bit there?
I'm with you guys. I feel bad for Sieg. Even though I'm happy for the one of Sam Mayer to seeing how hard Sam has worked for his career, and to see him finally get the fruits of his labor, it's pretty cool to know that, yes, I have had him on my program before, and now he's winning races. And back when I had him on, he had yet to win a race.
All right. I think collectively we all feel kind of bad for Ryan Sieg.
Actually going to add on.
Oh, all right.
Honestly, the Xfinity race as a whole was actually, for Texas Motor Speedway, which has had a history of bad races since the repave. To be honest, the Xfinity race was actually pretty good. It was actually a pretty good race.
Yeah, it was.
And it's actually the second time this season that we've seen a race have a finish that was that exact margin of victory. 0.002, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that the same margin of victory the Cup Series had at the Atlanta Motor Speedway earlier this year?
I think so, yeah.
That Ryan finished second in that one too. What's next? Ryan Preece gonna finish .002 behind at Talladega this week?
At Talladega, anything's can happen.
Yep, I just remember
he'd be on a guy's roof and still win it
here at the 2019 spring race. But so in the Xfinity race, though, kind of going back to one part of what helped Sam Mayer close in on Ryan Sieg was the ability to use that second lane at Texas. Honestly, I think that was the only race on the weekend that the Highline really ever became usable. Do we think that's because of the cars? Do we think it's because the track just rubbered in better during the Xfinity race for whatever reason?
It was actually cool. It was also cooler on Saturday than it was Sunday as well.
Okay, temperatures were cooler.
But not by much, though. Which is the weird part, it wasn't cool by much. But it's weird how temperature actually worked in tracks. That's what I find weird is how weird temperature is for tracks.
Because, the Xfinity Series was able to use that Highline pretty regularly. And again, like, Ryan Sieg was finding a fair amount of speed with it up near the in the upper groove, especially in 3 and 4.
I think it also has to do with ride height of the tires. I noticed in the trucks in the cup, they were bottoming out with the bumps in 3 and 4. And yeah. The Xfinity car was riding a little bit. They were riding a little bit more stable through 3 and 4 because there's a huge... Like they were saying on the broadcast, how they had the bumps in 3 and 4. Yeah. Like, you noticed how the cars were hit, like, bottoming out. I think it's because the cup cars have a completely flat bottom that it just upset the car.
Alright.
You gotta give Allgaier... Sam Meyer needs to go hug him for bringing up that last caution. Or Allgaier doesn't win that thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Allgaier definitely had a fast car, and if he was in the mix there, he probably could have fought for it, and if not, would have won it easily. JP, any comments about that Highline that we got to see work in the Xfinity Series?
That Highline, you know, I think it would. I wish it would have worked during the cup race. Maybe we might have seen a better finish in the cup race. But I mean, honestly, for the highlight to be working there, it's pretty good on Saturday.
All right, and then moving right along to the third race of the weekend, the main course, as you might call it, the NASCAR Cup Series. And we had what really started out looking like another Kyle Larson domination show quickly turned into somewhat of a demolition derby.
Well, it's actually, I personally think it's not just the car's fault, but I think it's just how the track's designed. Because they're going so fast. You know, one, the track rough in 3 and 4, 2, you're going 180 miles an hour through 3 and 4.
Yep.
And those tires, and I noticed this at Las Vegas, too, the other mile and a half. The light side tires were going out faster because of the speed and the load on the side of the car. Because the tire pressure is so low, they're wearing out faster. And it's making the cars unstable to drive.
Yeah.
Alright.
Exactly. I agree with Tyler there.
Alright. So was I the only person then, I guess, that was worried about another Kyle Larson domination show? With the,
It looked like it was going to until his tire decided to head out.
Well, hey, didn't he have another? Oh, yeah. And then he had another spinning crash later once he got back on the lead lap after the first issue.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
How's it going? Yeah. How's your drive going, Ben?
It's great. I'm in Illinois currently. I have 13 hours and 56 minutes left until I hit the hotel.
All right. Ben, care to weigh in on either the truck or Xfinity races that we already went and covered? Or did you not get
to I didn't watch those, unfortunately. I only listened to the NASCAR race. I only listened to a little bit. I just wanted to stop in and say hi to you guys.
All right. Well, I figured I'd give you a chance to let your input in on that one.
Yeah. I mean, the NASCAR race was great.
Yeah, we're just starting to dip into the cup race.
Chase is the man. All right. You guys have a great night.
Hey, bud.
Later.
Later. So, yeah, the cup race, and then shortly after stage one ended with only, one caution in the middle of stage one, it quickly turned into, again, a demolition derby, at least by my definition of a demolition derby.
Especially by the end of the second stage and in the third.
It was pretty much throughout the entire second stage, if I remember correctly, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. There was like 4 or 5 cautions in the second stage.
They kept showing on the broadcast all the yellow on the screen. On their ticker.
Yeah. Yep.
Am I the only one who thought the Texas race was actually decent?
No.
I certainly don't want to see too many more races like it. That's kind of my main thought on it, is that it isn't the kind of race I'd want to see much more of. Like, I wouldn't want them turning more tracks into this exact same type of track. And I certainly would rather it be drivable, because, like, guys like Michael McDowell, I mean, even the crash with, or the move with Chase Elliott at the very end, that ended up putting, I don't even remember who it was in the fence, just kind
Hamlin,
of the fact
or,
that,
yeah, Hamlin.
That just the fact that you could have someone make not even really a mistake or much of a move there, and guys like Michael McDowell, while just trying to make a pass to the lead, just absolutely got had the back end of their car just step out on them. And obviously, as a Michael McDowell fan, I'm a little bit more biased towards this incident in particular.
I kind of cheered when the 11 spun out.
I did too.
I don't blame you guys for cheering that one. And that's where I was able to actually get a lot more perspective on that incident specifically by having seen it happen to one of my favorite drivers a bunch of laps earlier when Michael McDowell went and spun out. And it's like, I can't even really say Ross Chastain did anything wrong in what he did that led to McDowell being higher up the track or missing the bottom. I mean, that's just them trying to race and the track not letting them.
And go hard, and it's at the end of the race, and take what you can.
Yeah, and then that kind of leads into one of the things that annoyed me was just the length of the cautions. Especially there was that one caution late in the race where it felt like the caution went for like 11, 12 laps.
I did notice that.
Anyone
yeah.
know why that caution seemed like it extended for like 3 years?
No, I don't.
No.
I wasn't listening to the broadcast. I was just watching it. I didn't see in the subtitles. I didn't see anything.
They had to get their commercial breaks in.
Yeah, I guess so. I think I did see some radio transmission from Hamlin saying, basically asking the same question as to why the caution was so long. Especially where it didn't look like there was any safety equipment still out on track.
Yeah.
But ultimately it didn't really matter because we had another caution which sent them to overtime. And then overtime happened and we got to see what we got to see, which was Denny Hamlin and the one car getting into it. And who was the other driver involved with that, the wreck in the one car? Or was it the
Byron.
11?
Off of two.
Byron? Oh, yeah, that was Byron, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
One had checked up and Byron tagged him.
Ross are always getting into it, but I couldn't remember if there was a different car that got into Ross this time.
Which brought out the final caution before the checkered flag.
Yep. Yeah, and then you had,
That's a good teammate helping out the...
Hamlin 1-2 at the end of the day. And then Ross Chastain dropped all the way to the tail end of the lead lap, which was like 32nd, if I remember correctly. Rough day for him, but since I know we got quite a few Chase Elliott fans in here, how did it feel to have your guys' driver finally break the winless streak?
I literally yelled as soon as the race was over, sound the alarm!
Yeah. I was so big up to, for me, I didn't want to eat my dinner. I was too nervous. I told my mom all the afterwards.
All right.
No, I was actually so excited when he won. I'm like, no. It's
also,
over.
Apparently,
Dan
Hamlin ended up finishing 30th. I didn't realize he lost all those spots. I thought he came home like 7th. I thought he came home inside the top 10 still.
No, he crashed out.
Yeah, let's say he crashed out.
Well, I knew he hit the fence, but it was on the white flag lap or whatever, so I thought he could have limped it through 3 and 4.
Oh, no. He destroyed that car.
Okay. Yeah, he destroyed it. And it took the green flag. They didn't make it to white flag yet. Off of Ford is when he crashed it. Then he had another caution for the second green-white checkered.
All right. he's still in it passing Ross Chastain, so.
Yeah.
But do we think Brad Keselowski's going to be the next driver to break a winless streak?
They're going to Talladega.
I think Truex is going to.
You think Truex is going to be the next driver to break their winless streak?
Especially with Dover being the next track after Talladega. Dover is one of his best tracks.
What about
his home track?
What about someone like a Kyle Busch or a Joey Logano this week at Talladega?
Now, I think it's going to be one of the Fords, honestly. Not Brad, but I think Chris Buescher has. I think Chris Buescher or one of the Penske guys, honestly.
I said Joey Logano in there too. I said Logano or Busch for Talladega this week could be a possibility.
I honestly could use it, but
my personal opinion, I think Kyle breaks his slump and takes the W. Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's been good on the super speedways. He just hasn't shown much. It's not really his fault. It's really the fucking crew that's let him down.
Yeah, it's been pit crew or cars falling apart or car just not having the speed to get there, which I know it's been a thing in Kyle's career where he's always talking about how junk the car is, then he drives it right up to the front and leads laps.
He's on his fourth pit crew for the year already?
I think fourth or fifth, yeah.
Well, RCR does have a pit crew that ranks inside the top 10. They're just pitting the 3 car.
The 3 car's not even better.
Because the Austin Dillon pit crew is in the top 10 on average pit stop this year.
They are really stupid good. Why don't they swap pit crews?
Yeah, you... Because...
Gibbs is all time, so you don't know why.
Because of who his family is, probably.
Would Harvick call him the golden spoon?
I mean, silver spoon? Much offense to Austin. Hmm. Austin Dillon should not be in the 3 car.
No. He's had his, what, 6 crew chief already? I don't think it's a crew chief issue. I think it's a driver.
I think he's back to the same crew chief for like the 3rd time, and this crew chief is the same one that Dylan's gotten all of his cup wins with, actually. If I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I agree, though, that it seems like it's a driver issue, not a crew issue. If you can keep putting the same crew chief on there and winning races.
I kind of hope the hot swap for the All-Star race is true, low-key.
It's not.
Same. That would be cool.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I knew it was Photoshop, but I actually was kind of hoping it was real, but also not. Because that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe after Teresa's not in the picture anymore, maybe they can do that when they won't have to worry about getting sued for even breathing the name Earnhardt.
That's also why Junior can't bring a cup team to the cup team because of Teresa.
Why is that?
Did you know Teresa and Junior are still fighting, like, shit like that behind the scenes? It's fucking crazy.
But how does that stop Junior from being able to bring a team?
Because he wanted to use the DEI font.
For what number though?
For his eight car if he brings it up.
Well, he'd have to get the 8 from Kyle.
Or not 88 RCR. He wants to use the 88. My bad. That was my bad.
Okay. Say, why couldn't he just theoretically use the 88 that he ran at Hendrick for all those years? I mean, I know it's not the same as the 80 as the 8 from
Earnhardt. It was close.
But the Hendrick Motorsports one, arguably, I'd say he has as much, if not more, history in that font.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's some crazy rumors about Stuart Haas and all that.
Oh, Stuart Haas is selling charters and stuff like that. That's old news, though.
Yeah,
there's one that I read.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that, and I was talking about that in another chat with some other people as well. And I think the biggest thing is, if Stuart Haas does sell a charter or two, which drivers do they end up cutting?
They're going to probably keep the two most experienced, Chase Briscoe and Ryan Preece. I guarantee it. I'm sorry, Noah Gregson and Josh Berry. You guys just got your cup right, but
I don't know.
They're going to put
looked impressive in his starts, especially for it being a rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, in terms of points, you would have where is Briscoe in points?
Trying to pull that up.
Yeah, I didn't have this one prepared ahead of time. Okay, Briscoe's 12th, and then Preece is 24th in points. And Josh Berry's 26th. And Noah Gregson.
And Noah's 30th. Not far out, though.
Yeah, I mean, Briscoe, similar to the Kevin Harvick days, Briscoe is leagues ahead of the other three, so I think Briscoe would be a no question you keep. And then it comes down to which driver do you want to pair with him, and I think you pair up, I think, Josh Berry, because I think Berry could learn the most from Briscoe.
Actually, I do. Briscoe, wait, I kind of do. I think I kind of do agree with the Josh Berry, keeping Josh Berry, actually, now I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Berry and Preece have very similar skill sets, and I think Berry has a much higher ceiling than Preece at this point.
I think I go for age or not.
Well, and that's the thing. Actually, Barry's a little bit older than your average cup rookie. He's what, 26, 27, something like that?
No, he's 30. He's, I think 30, he's older 30, than that. He's 33 years old.
Oh, he's already 33. Okay, so yeah, he's entering his prime already as a race car driver, pretty much.
Yeah, he is.
But, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see if they end up selling a charter or not. But, I'd say all four Stewart Oscars have seemed to have taken a step forward the last 2-3 weeks. I think that'll hopefully quiet the rumors a little bit.
Yeah, the one crazy one I heard was Stewart's going to sell it to Junior, switch it to Chevy.
Yeah, keep Tony, all four. Tony does want to go to Chevy. I actually have been reading up.
And I'd say, I think that if they're selling charters, though, I think there's got to be another Ford team looking, because I don't think Ford can really afford to lose that many more cars, potentially, if they lose, let's say, two of Stewart Haas's cars, if not all four cars from the Ford stable, especially for the plate tracks. That'd be a lot of strength in numbers that you'd lose to, say, Toyota or Chevy, and Chevy certainly doesn't need more strength in numbers. Because there's already, what, 12 to 14 competitive Chevys on a given weekend?
Yeah.
So I'd be shocked.
You can just see who Honda signs.
Other Ford teams might not be interested in an extra charter. And if Ford might be willing to foot the bill or something to help make it, keep those charters within the Ford family. But, again, trying to get back on track to what we've been talking about. Looking back one last time at the Texas Motor Speedway, we talked about the bumps. Do we think it's time for a repave/reconfiguration of Texas, or do we think it deserves to be given more time to maybe grow into itself?
I still, even though it was decent racing, get rid of it.
I think you repave it like you did in Atlanta.
No, too many. That's too many. It's too many super speedways. I think three is enough.
I'd say
Atlanta's gonna wear out though and be back to what it used to be.
Now, if you configure this track like Atlanta, I think you have to remove one of Atlanta's two dates, and then we still have 6 super speedway races on the schedule, and we just have them split between 1 Atlanta, 1 Texas, and then 2 at the other 2 speedways. If you do that.
I say increase the banking. Do similar to what they did in Kentucky. Keep the banking on 1 and 2 the same. Make it a little bit more flatter. Make it like 20 degrees in 3 and 4 too as well, so they actually have to lift. But keep it wide though. Keep it wide so there's groups to race. make it, but
I
like
remember a lot of people not liking Kentucky, so
that's why I said That's why I said more like. Well, yeah, more like the Chicagoland, like 18 to 28 degrees in the corner.
Yep.
Yeah.
JP.
I tend to say, it needs to be rebuilt, and that's that. I mean, we talked about the Xfinity race, and so far in this decade, the Xfinity race from this weekend is the only one that has had a decent finish where they were side by side, two by two coming to the line.
Yeah, but I mean, those side-by-side finishes are rare in any series. I mean, we're lucky to get one or two a year, let alone one or two in a row at the same track. And I mean, if you think back to Texas Motor Speedway history in general, I mean, the finish between the two RCR cars in 2020 was pretty close between Reddick and Dillon for that win.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like this Texas Speedway can't produce. I'd almost like to see them maybe keep Texas this way for now and try changing the... tweaking the cup package for Texas... for Texas specifically. And basically give Texas a little bit more time to feel itself out because, again, the cup, the Xfinity drivers and whatnot... potentially just add in a little bit of ride height or something for Texas, but I'd like to see them try and make it work because, again, we've seen from the Xfinity race that this track can produce a second lane and can produce good racing when the car and everything else matches up. Now, if that still fails, I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of trying to bring Texas back to what it was by adding the banking back in 1 and 2.
Or make it similar to Miami, but keep it to quad oval just like Atlanta and Charlotte. But do it like Miami with a progressive banking. Because see what Miami's done with the progressive banking, with the rough surface, progressive banking, some of the best racing all year.
Yep. But again, I'd like to see them maybe try and make one more change rule set wise. Again, maybe adding ride height to the cup car for Texas to try and fix the racing before they go and touch the track. Because a track change, if you go in the wrong direction, there's no undo button. And unlike if you make a rules package adjustment, that's a lot easier to just go and undo.
The horsepower back in them. See what these cars handle at 900
now,
horsepower.
No. If they're that unstable at 670, dude, those cars are going to be way more dangerous at 900. Specifically at Texas, but...
And you have to lift more. You have to drive the car with the throttle, not just keep it wide open and go.
Even when they had the 750, 800 horsepower back when they repaved it in 2017, they were wide open in 3 and 4 as well.
Alright. So, moving on to our green flags and black flags for the weekend. So, a green flag is obviously something that you enjoyed from the weekend, and a black flag is something that you did not enjoy. JP, you want to start us off?
Yeah, green flag to that finish of the Xfinity race that we talked so much of between Sam Mayer and Ryan Sieg. Sorry, Ryan, but my black flag has to be every time there has to be a Ryan involved.
Hey,
you know, Ryan,
comes. I try and be involved.
You're cursed. You still have that curse. Well, I don't want to hear it.
I know. I am well aware of the dire curse returning this week, which we'll get to in a bit.
So, but seriously, my black flag is all the spin-outs from the weekend and all the yellow flags we had.
Alright. Tyler, you want to go next with your green flag, black flag?
My green flag was, in general, the racing was not terrible. I'd actually give it green flags and green flagged all three series, actually.
Alright.
My black flag, personally, I'm not going to blame the track. My personal opinion is I'm black flagging Goodyear.
Okay.
All three series struggled with tire wear at Texas, and they can't seem to figure out it's specifically Texas. They have the tire issue. They need to get it figured out because it's actually starting to get dangerous.
Yeah, and I mean, the question is how much you want them to mess with it and potentially risk causing another Bristol.
Right.
And I know we talked about this last week, I think. We talked about the whole expectation that we might see more Bristols if we start telling Goodyear to experiment, figure something out. Because experiments do come with failures. So,
yeah.
That's something the NASCAR fan base is going to have to be ready for if they're going to insist on Goodyear experimenting with different compounds that to try and find something that races better.
Remember that one Indy race where they only can go 20 laps, you had to throw the car, you know, to pit everyone?
Exactly.
Grand Rose, long time ago.
Yeah, or even the Bristol race from a couple weeks ago where they were having cautions every 15 to 20 laps for tires. But, Mike, you want to go ahead and give us your green flag and black flag of the weekend?
My green flag is putting Hooters back in victory lane since they haven't been there since 92, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
And a tribute that Chase did.
Yeah, first time Hooters has been a primary scheme winner since Alan Kulwicki in that championship race in 92. Actually, he didn't even win that championship race, but he won the championship that week, which honestly I think is the thing most people care about from that weekend.
Yeah.
Because who won that race? Wasn't it Bill Elliott that won the
Bill
race in 92?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
My flag, I don't really think I have one. It was all good racing, and everyone has their quirks, you know. I would give one and be Toyota, because I don't like Toyota, but...
or throw the black flag for Kyle Busch winning another truck race.
Right.
I know plenty of people don't like that. But, alright. For my green flag, I would probably go with the same one as JP. I've got to say that finish in the Xfinity Series race. It's rare for you to see one of those finishes in a year. To see two of them is incredible. And the year's still pretty young. We could end up seeing a third, which would be unheard of levels of close finishes. And I just hope that in the next one, Orion is on the right side of the close finish. And for my black flag, I'm going to give it to turns 3 and 4 just because they took out Michael McDowell, because I'm not a big fan of them taking out Michael McDowell when he had such a good race going. And
he did.
Especially for a driver who has struggled to have good days on a consistent basis. Because it's been a while since we've seen Michael McDowell on an intermediate track look as good as he did this weekend. But, yeah, so that would be my black flag, mainly because I also enjoyed the racing quite a bit, but I'm allowed to go ahead and throw a black flag, so I'll go ahead and black flag turn.
Coming back!
Sounds good.
So we're now moving into Talladega Preview, which also comes along with the race pick. So I've got a wheel pulled up here, and we're going to go ahead and spin it to see who gets
your britches are hanging down there.
The fourth pick. So
are you on the phone?
Yeah, punk ass.
Right.
So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and spin it, and first up is going to be Mike. You've got first pick tonight.
Ooh,
so you can pick any driver in the cup field for Talladega that you want to pick for the week.
I'm going to go Willie B. He's going to get the Daytona, and I think he's going to grab Talladega.
All right. Let me go ahead and write that one down, and then I will spin it for the next one. So.
Why doesn't he say I'm... Why doesn't he say, yeah, I'll do it later. I don't like going in there when he's podcasting. He should know better.
All right. Tyler, you're up next.
Honestly, I am gonna go with one of the. I'm gonna go with Stuart Haas. I'm gonna go with Josh Berry.
Okay. After just suggesting that they should keep Ryan Preece over Barry, now you're gonna pick Barry for the win.
He was good at Daytona and Atlanta. I think he'll be pretty good at Talladega.
Good thing.
When you're doing that, you need to shut your door, because he didn't know. For all he knew, you were listening to music. You didn't need to yell.
Okay, my turn.
The wheel doesn't pick me last. Yay. For the first time since I started doing the wheel to decide the order of picks, I finally don't go last. I really don't want to pick one of my guys because of how the picks have been going. The dire curse as of late. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go ahead and I'll take Michael McDowell for the win. I'll go ahead
and
throw the Hail Mary. I just want another reason to root for my guy, and what better reason than him being my podcast pick to go and watch him probably hit the wall in turn one or have a motor go dead on lap one.
Or get Barrow roll it down the back straightaway. We never know. Don't tell it again.
Yep. Yeah, I saw him retweet that. I saw him retweet that clip earlier this week, and I don't know why he would be the one retweeting that. And then
remember, he flipped a Texas like
almost 20 years ago. That's the highlight I'm talking about that I saw him retweet this past week. And I don't know why he would retweet that clip of all clips. So I guess real quick while we're waiting on JP to get back here. Do we want to preview Texas? I'm still listening, Ryan. Oh, okay. I just saw that you put your camera down, so I wasn't sure if you were ready for your pick.
I'm ready.
Your pick then. I just assumed that you were going to pick your camera back up when you were ready to be back on and when you were actually here.
Oh, okay. My pick is going to soccer world, Kyle Larson.
I'm not sure that that's shock the world level, but...
yeah.
But I'll put that note in there, that it'll shock the world, and we'll see what everybody else thinks about it.
Come from me. Because, my dad's a Kyle Larson fan, so have to go with Kyle Larson once in a while.
All right. So, just real quick, anybody got any thoughts heading into Talladega? I know we all talk about it. It's a roulette. It's mostly luck, but do we think we're going to see anything different throughout the race?
I think it's going to be just as chaotic as Daytona.
Yeah.
Especially since this track is wider than Daytona.
Do we think that they actually get to the checkered flag this time?
No.
No.
So we think there's going to be a caution on the white flag lap?
Oh, yeah. Especially, it's probably going to be caused by, like, Austin Dillon or something like that.
I'd be the 47 Mr. Sentinel who wrecks everyone in.
Hey!
No, it's probably going to be Joey
LeBlanc. Nearly as many people as everybody says.
No, it's Joey LeBlanc. No, it's Joey LeBlanc.
He runs between 15th and 20th place, which is about where every wreck starts. But, I mean,
just remember,
even in races when he hasn't been there, the wrecks always start between about 13th and 25th place. And he just happens to be in a car that runs about 20th almost every week.
No, you want to know who starts the most of the wrecks at Super Speedways? Joey Logano.
Yeah, Joey Logano with some poor blocks definitely starts his fair share of them.
I've done my fair share of blocks online.
Yep.
Some of you have been there, watched me doing it.
And most of the blocks that I get, most of the bad blocks I get hit by are caused by that person over there.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, I've tucked you out with a bad block. Twice.
When have you and I even ever league raced against each other?
Like year, like 2020, 2021.
Okay, I was gonna say it's been years. I get taken out by a bad block by JP about every 15 minutes or so, which means I'm probably due to get cut off by him again here in a few minutes. But, alright, I think that's pretty much everything we had, though, for recapping Texas. And we will be back next week after the Talladega race, so, is there any final thoughts from everybody?
No, I get to Talladega is a good finish.
Just a good finish.
Yeah, a good race, a good one, make a puck. They're also in Kansas, coming to full throttle here soon. So, bear with me as I go through these Kansas. And I appreciate everybody following me over to the lapdown and over to my stuff. So.
Alright. Any other final thoughts there from either of the other two?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, this has been the Lapdown Podcast. I'm Ryan. And for JP, Tyler, and Mike, this has been the Texas Recap Edition. Again, tune in next week for our recap of the chaos that is Talladega, and we will see you guys all next week. Have a great night, everybody, and we will see you guys next week. Bye!
Take it easy. Bye!